I'd like to spend at this time the founder of Dean Elder School, Dr. Henry Seaman.
Thank you, everyone. I'm indeed happy to be here again and to talk with you about the things that pertain to God and His purpose and the kingdom of God. The reality I've been thinking for quite some time about the origin of this work, what it means, how to understand it, because it is the result of a revelation. I have did everything that is within my power to do to try to make men and women conscious of the ever presence of God, a living God, an ever-sedated God, not an empty, not a passive, but I want you to realize that God is alive, and it is not me that I want you to see, know something about, understand something about. Not that at all. But I am anxious to convey to your mind the things that God has shown to me in the year 1931. By constant mentioning of them, they may be become somewhat antagonistical to some. And then they get the wrong conception or the wrong idea about them, and think that I mean to pose as some great one myself. I want you to know that that is a false conception. That is not. I have never at any time tried to impart the idea that I myself amounted to anything. Just another one of the brethren trying to convey to you the things that God has given to me to show to you. And I have tried my best to tell you that I too have come up through the experiences that everybody sitting under the sound of my voice has had. Belonging to this church and that church and the other organizations and so forth and so on. I too have been taught and lived as you have lived. But in the year 1931, God, I'll try to talk to you so you can understand, gave me a divine revelation and a vision. I did not understand the vision when I saw it. I've never tried to make anybody think that I did. I just didn't understand it. But that same day, the meaning of that vision was revealed to me. And I have told you many times that that revolutionized and it did away with my former conception of God and His purpose. It moved me out of the category of skepticism. Made me begin to wonder, well, I didn't think that I was the worst fellow. I never have thought that. While I didn't see where I was any better than anybody was, I never thought that, as I'll tell you like the Apostle Paul said, he said, this is a true saying and worthy of acceptation. that Yahshua the Messiah came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. That's what he thought about himself. He was the chief sinner. I believe he was almost justified in making that statement too. For the simple reason why, because he did lead the persecutors of the apostles when they were out to preach that their resurrection from the dead. And he held the raiment of them that slew Stephen. And also he told the Timothy that at that time he said he was a blasphemer and an injurious person because he persecuted the assembly of God. Mm-hmm. You call it the church. But he said, I receive mercy because I did it ignorantly and through unbelief. He did not realize and he did not know at that time that so far as the purpose of God in its declaration from the beginning that he was to be an apostle. And all of the things that he did, contrary, you understand, was a preparation. See, that meant that he didn't have anything at all to boast of on the part of Paul.
Right.
He told Felix, Festus, and Agrippa, said, now, all of the Jews know how that I persecuted the church. Then he went on to tell him about the God of his fathers, according to the things that were stipulated in the scriptures that had to come to pass. And he said that he didn't have anything to cover or to hide one way or the other, because everything that he had said that caused him to be in trouble after he saw the vision was nothing more than what Moses and the prophet said would come. So I look at it like the apostle did. He said that when it pleased God, but when it pleased God, who separated him from his mother's womb to put him in the ministry. Now God put him in there. Why then he was not hesitant. He was obedient to the heavenly being. You see what I mean? And he counted himself happy. So he told Felix, Festus, and Agrippa, that's king, priest, and governor, that he was happy that he was permitted to speak for himself. Touching all things, well, the Jews have made that accused of that I'm on. Now, the thing that makes me so happy about it is this. Agrippa, that's the king, is because I know that you are an expert, you understand, in the law of the Jews and public. And so for that reason, I'm real happy to speak for my, that I'm permitted, I'm given the opportunity to speak for myself. Now, I have laid that the kind of foundation to say to you that was in the beginning of the present age and present dispensation, where the apostles come along and preach after the Messiah had been crucified, resurrected, and ascended, and poured out the Holy Spirit. Now we are coming down to the close of this age, when everything that has transpired through the dispensations and ages, listen, It repeats itself over and over and over and over and over. There is nothing in the past, nothing, but what is in the present and in the future. Nothing. That's the reason why Messiah said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You understand? And his purpose works with unerring accuracy with infallibility through the dispensations and ages. After being assistant pastor of the Church of God, I told you many times about it, and having been put out, she just might as well call the thing straight and get it over with, see. She silenced. I thought it was a pretty bad thing. The thought that was within me was, surely, there ought to be, surely there ought to be somewhere whereby that we should understand the purpose of God. Listen, and if God hath appointed a day wherein he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, surely then there should be somewhere that we that call ourselves in Christian Jews ought to be able to see eyes to eyes, face to face. I thought surely there should be somewhere. And it was in my heart to write a book and go back to the brethren and try to convince them of my honesty and integrity. So I got busy, started to write that book. And I went upstairs in the attic in my home at that time, and I started to write. But I guess I must have worked on it 3 or 4 weeks, maybe longer. Maybe not so long. I don't remember. But anyhow, the thought comes to me is many men far smarter than I am have written many, many books. You understand? I knew of Matthew Henry, commentators, Pendleton, Burroughs, and just a lot of commentators, and a lot of smart theologians, you understand, that have written books. So me writing a book won't have any more influence on the Christendom out there than what the books that they have written. So that won't be. I quit. I took my little dog and went on up on the creek, and I sit down up there for nearly 2 years in that melancholy state, backwards and forwards, I could be able to be alone and by myself. Nobody but me and myself. And I looked at nature in its simplicity and in its reality. And I wondered to myself, sure, there ought to be somewhere if God is going to judge the world in righteousness. There ought to be some way to convince mankind. If it can't be done now, and it's a matter of utter impossibility to convince mankind and for us to become reconciled, those of us who would accept, you understand? Then I could see no future potential possibility of it. See? And I remember being in my dining room and rocking, in the rocking chair. And I was looking at the wall. I just newly had my house painted. And I was looking at how beautiful the tall paper was before I had planned to make my departure. I think listening to what I'm telling you, it is important.
Right.
And then I had one of the great stupendous visions, I believe, that has ever been given to any man. It was not out of harmony with nothing that had been revealed here before. It was not out of harmony. That was revealed to Moses and the prophets and the apostles. I told you after I didn't understand it. And then I went into another state of, I might just say it, took out of the world. Understand? And that was explained to me. You see, in other words, the meaning of the vision that I had was revealed to me. Now, the thing I'm trying to tell you about is this. I didn't think that I was so bad myself, or any worse than anybody else, until God had to go to all that trouble just on my account to get me saved. You see? And I thought then, evidently, it must be for someone else as much so as it is for me. See. So then I said, well, I'll go out and tell somebody about it. No, it's silence. And I couldn't go and tell nobody nothing. Because I realized that the thing that I would tell them, they would not believe nohow. You understand? I didn't believe it before I had the vision and the revelation, you see. So now I'm just up against it. So then there isn't the one thing that they taught me to do. Just one thing, and that was this. Was to draw out these thoughts and try to convey to somebody's mind. You see, the divine lesson, the divine authenticity, the unerring accuracy, the infallibility of God and His purpose, as was revealed to Moses and the prophets. That Messiah did come in the world at the appointed time. He lived, he fulfilled the law and the prophecy to the very jot and tittle or to the letter. And then, after he fulfilled, then all of the triumph, or all of the living, all of the physical, all of the natural, was moved out. The purpose was this, that we might worship God in spirit and in truth. That God did seek man to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, God has made a statement like this. Now, you listen, because everything I'm saying to you now, you see, is vitally important to your salvation. He had said he would bring to naught the wisdom of the wise. You remember that scribes, Sadducees, and about six different back then. Now he said he would bring to naught, destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. See what I mean? Now, just reading that makes Notice people just read that in a passive sense, in a passive way. He said that he come to fulfill. Matthew 5:17, that not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I come to fulfill. Very good, I said to one child or one citizen, and no one fashion until it is all fulfilled. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is the destruction of the wisdom of the wise, and to claim to not the understanding of the fruit. Here is where Paul got in trouble.
Okay.
You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is how he became a blasphemer and an injurious person. Because he was sensed of keeping the law. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And he said as touching the law, when he was persecuting, he was blameless.
Mm-hmm.
That Sanhedrin council, though those soldiers that were absolute, when he was buried in Joseph's new tomb, hewn out in the rocks, those soldiers were there at that tomb, went up to the Sanhedrin council. Now you listen at me. And told him that he had risen from the dead as he said. Now they went and made that report to all 70 of them. Now what they did was bribe the soldiers. Don't let this get out into the community. You understand? And they gave them money. Now if it does get out, then our last year will be worse than the first. Now the first error they made was to crucify the Son of God.
Right.
You understand? And they said down that deceiver said that he was raised from the dead on the third day. Now you go and seal up this apostle and make it as sure as you can. They asked that committee. So then they sealed up this apostle to make it safe. They asked for a guard down there. You understand? No soldiers out there talking about it. And when, to make a long story short, I'm trying to hold the continuity of thought. You see, the angel of the Lord descended from the stone way instead of on that. Gospel according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Right? And they went up there and told the Sanhedrin council that. Now, so then the Apostle Paul, who was called an apostle, you understand, he was there studying at the feet of Gamaliel. And just like a lot of people, you understand, was aspiring to of being somebody. You understand? Wanted to be something. So then the Sanhedrin council gave him credentials. You see? And sent him out to persecute those apostles. You understand? Now it was their job to go. See, and anyone that disobeyed the law, well, then it was their job to go and see to them being put to death according to the law. But now them here in the flip sack, and they wouldn't go themselves. You understand? And they sent Paul out to do that. You get the point? And give him letters of authority to do it. You understand what I mean? To do their job. And they sat back in seclusion. You get it now? So then he, with these letters of authority, he went out to persecute them that was preaching the resurrection from the dead. You understand? And Joshua the Messiah appeared to him on the highway going to Damascus. and asked him, called him by name, saw on him, that Sanhedrin council that sent him out there like that. You understand? He wanted to go back and jump off. You see, they said, no, don't do that. You go on down to Damascus, where he started. Then there'll be somebody down there to tell you what to do. And that right. So he went on down Straight Street to Damascus, and he met the proper authorities down there in the house of the Jews. And they told him, the Lord promised to have somebody that told him what they were going to do. Now listen, instead of him going back to Jerusalem, he went in Arabia, sent into Arabia. Now, I haven't heard very much of explanations of why he went into Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
See, from the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And why he couldn't go back to Jerusalem. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to my text. I very seldom have a text. I just usually preach the Bible, but this morning I have a text. My text will be found in the 14th chapter of Revelation, and the second verse. Now, when you have found it, please read.
And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harping with their harps.
I heard a voice from heaven. That is my
faith.
Now what I mean by that is this. This is John saying that he heard a voice from heaven. Now, he didn't say he heard a voice from the Vatican. He didn't say he heard a voice from the General Council. He told you unmistakably that he had heard the voice. I heard a voice as the sound of many waters. Now, what I'm telling you is this. Just as John and Moses heard that voice from heaven, I'm trying to tell you that I too heard that voice from heaven. And I have been under the impression for 35 years that I heard that voice. I didn't know all those experiences led up to the same thing. You understand? But that morning, when I heard that voice from him, you remember I told you that I had been in a conflict. Why? And how? Since there were so many sects and cults and denominations and creeds in the world, since we all say God has appointed a day when he should judge the world of man by that man who he had ordained. I couldn't see no possibility of universal reconciliation. Because each and every one wants to hold to their particular religious concept. And
yeah.
It is the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the day when Messiah was here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You see. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So in the hearing of that voice from heaven, every time I read Revelation, Every time I read about Moses, it is as vivid in my heart and mind today as it was then. You understand? And as I said before, I knew that it wouldn't do me any good to go out here in the world and try to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But it was that I had a message, had received a message to give to them. So then that made me proceed to draw out these cards. Now, I told you the other night that these cards here that are drawn out, we have had them in universities, we've had them before smart men, and they are many years old. This one here being that over there being the first one that I tried to teach from. That's the first one I made. We call it the pattern, plan of salvation. And nobody from nowhere up until this time, up until this very day, has ever been able to receive and to distribute. Yes, we've had people who come in school that never understood. You understand? And they would say that I don't think this. Well, they didn't know what they were looking at. They didn't understand. You see what I mean? And those that did make some kind of a study of it, all that they could do was fall in line with it. Because I just put down here just what I saw. It's to the very best of my ability. I know the art is not up to date. You understand? I know the art is not up to date. Now listen at me, folks. This is serious. See, along with that come the knowledge, that vision and revelation, come the knowledge of prophecy. I have told you every major historical event that's happened in the world today.
That's right.
You are my witness.
That's right.
People have been healed of all kinds of diseases all across this country. Verified and confirmed by medical authorities. I told you to kind of specify a little, a few things, to enumerate a few things. I told you about Roosevelt's last run for President of the United States of America, that he would be nominated, elected, and he would not be in the White House 1 year from that day. All you have to do is consult history about it. See? I told you way back, before 35, about the Second World War, and wrote the President of the United States of America about it. I told him when the nation would go to war and what would happen and so forth and so on, and when it would terminate. And it happened just like I said. There is a man sitting in the audience that worked with me in the same place, just one man, that when the announcement comes from the White House that they visited Wright Aeronautical Plant, locked in Ohio, that there would be an announcement from the White House saying all the employees sit down, do nothing to say, and wait for that broadcast to come in the shop. Shut all the machinery down. And one of the brethren sitting in the office, sitting in the congregation right now, walked in my office. I had an office there too. He walked in my office and he said to me, well, is this it? Is this today? I said, no. There will be no announcement that the war is terminated as of today, as you have previously heard that there will be. citizen heaven, not today. Because that's not the day that was shown to me in the vision. You understand? That is 1931. That man is sitting in. Would you mind standing up, that man? Would you mind standing up? I made the other night in that same plant, and I got arrested by the FBI. I've been in plenty of trouble. See about this voice that I heard. You see what I mean? Been in plenty of trouble. I'll get down there to the detection of what you said. You see? And I said this, that there would be a governmental investigation in Wright Aeronautical Plant within 30 days, and the top executives and officials of that plant would lose their jobs. The FBI got me and put me on the carpet. And they told me that I had to repudiate or withdraw my statement, because if I didn't, I had made myself subject to discharge. Immediate discharge. I had on a suit of overalls, and at the time my job was mop floor. I took oil. I had a mop cart just like anybody else. So then they carried me up there. And they asked me, did I make that statement? I said, yes, I did. I certainly did. But I didn't know who the FBI was. See, when I heard my name called on the public address system, I ignored it, because there wasn't nobody but officials called on that thing. Then when I heard my name called, I wondered to myself. I didn't know that there was another Henry C. Kelly in there. But I just ignored it, you know what I mean? Well, I was supposed to go to the telephone and answer the call, you understand? I wouldn't go. So George Stengline and guard there at the plant come and got me. And while I'm on George Stengline, I won't tell you about him. George Stengline afterwards become the secretary of this. I said there would be a Harry S. Truman walk through the Wright Aeronautical Plant within 30 days, and top officials there, they lose their job. Now here I go back on the carpet again. So what? They didn't tell me. They said they wanted to see you up in the personnel department. And so I went up in the personnel department to guard right along with me. See, with my same overhaul on, you see. And said, but I had told that man when I was up there before, when I speak, I have spoken. And see, and I just ripped my overhaul down. See, if I'd made myself subject to being discharged, I am as of now fired, because I refuse to take back what I said. But when I speak, I have spoken. That's the way it is. That's just what I do. You see what I mean? So he said, no, sent me on back to work. Now, the soldier caught me to keep my mouth shut. Just like they did earlier. You understand? Yeah. So we can keep my mouth shut. See? Well, I wouldn't promise them. I have to talk just like Peter never said. You understand? You beat it, Judge, but it's right in the sight of God. You understand? So they sent me on back, and I went back to mop. And when the officials lost their job back on the carpet, I went again. You understand? And they say, as of now, you are fired. Fired off of that job of mopping the floor. You don't mop no more floors here. Your office is in the South Shop basement. Already arranged for it. Take the overhauls off, and the guard will direct you and carry you to your position. I don't want no job not like that. I said, I want to mop the floor. They said, I'm sorry, you can't mop the floor.
Take him out.
So that took me out. Dr. Allen knows I'm telling the truth about that. See, because he was a constant. I had charge of distribution of supplies and whatnot. All of that plant was the biggest thing, thank you, was in the world at that time. But I didn't feel like worrying with that. Him coming out of there and worrying with the insurance in the daytime because I worked day and night and tried to teach the school on top of it. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning these things to you is to call your attention back in these things. I'm trying to tell you that whatever God says and reveals, see, whether you believe it or not, you understand, or whether you ever heard it before or not, it's so in it. And I want to let you know, too, that it did not come from getting to know crystal ball. And ever since then, I have told you of every major thing in the world. I told you about John F. Kennedy getting the president of Pandora. You're sitting there, you that are sitting there under the sound of my voice, know whether I did or no. You can know whether I'm lying, because you understand?
Right.
You heard it. You understand? I told you that John F. Kennedy would be nominated, elected, and assassinated. See? Now, he was not elected. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
By the right count of votes, it's crooked. I knew that. You see the point? But I knew that they'd smooth that one over, and Nixon couldn't contest it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But most of you that said in the sound of my voice know whether it's so or not, whether he was assassinated or not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't ask you what church you come from. I said you know that he was. See? You see what I mean? I told you about the Alaskan earthquake.
Right.
I told you about on the 10th of April.
That's right.
About that summer. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I told you before I left here, the 11th of May, the broke of Ohio, I told you there would be earthquake.
That's right.
Yeah. Didn't I tell you that?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want you to think, you understand? Anything, I don't want you to think. I don't want you to get the idea, understand, that this media, and I think that I'm so great or anything of the kind. You understand? I don't want you to get that idea, because that is not it. You see what I mean? I just want to say and tell you that the thing that is written in this book, you see, you understand, they are true. Yes! There is interpolation and mistranslation there. You understand? Mistakes and error, in other words, is only what you can. But generally and overall, this book is right. It's being called the Bible. And don't forget, I told you that God is an up-to-date God. He is ever present. You know of the hypothesis of the recent day that God is dead. Now, the reason why those things are said is because the present-day ministry that is preaching, people are preaching their education and their self, and their understanding and comprehension of it, and there is no heart-to-heart feeding of the ever-presence of God in the assembly and the ministry. That, too, is prophetic according to the way it should be. You see what I mean? Now, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Now, I want to tell you this. Now, this would almost be offensive. See, I told you many times that his name is not Jesus, as is said in the Bible, Jesus Christ. His name is Yahshua, his son.
Mm-hmm.
See? I showed you why. I showed you what God's name was that you call God. I showed you what his name was. Yahweh. Or Yahweh. Yah is the most important.